You are currently the only person in this conference.
Thank you. Good evening, folks. Welcome to tonight's One Wolf Call. This is Michael. You are all in the welcoming breakout rooms where everyone's getting a chance to say hello to one another. We'll be starting the call in just a few moments, so just if you get a chance to say hello to one another and talk about maybe some of the solidarity events you're planning for the upcoming, all the events happening in about 9 days. It's really, really exciting. So thank you very much, and when you hear this sound, we'll be wrapping up the calls, wrapping up the breakout rooms and getting the call started formally. Thank you. Hi, folks. Jumping in for a second here. If you are having trouble getting on Maestro, the social webinar, just so you know, while everyone's still in the breakout rooms, all you have to do is type in social.maestroconference.com, and you're going to do that up top in the bar that's the web address, also known as the address bar. You're going to put social.maestroconference.com. That's MAESTRO conference.com. And then you're going to, it's going to ask you for a username and password, or your email and password. Your email, the email you use to sign up that you got the reminder for this call on is the email you want to put in. And then you just want to put in the PIN that got you onto the call. And that is what you will do to get into the social webinar. So I hope everyone can get into that and you can continue to with the breakouts. We'll be getting started in just a few moments. Thank you very much. Do appreciate your patience. Thank you. now.
Hey, welcome everybody to our April 1 Wolf. Welcome to our April 1 Wolf call. We had a little bit of technical difficulty getting me on, so I'm sorry it was late. If you've never been on one of these calls, you're especially welcome. If you're experiencing technical difficulties, just press number 5 on your phone keypad, and Michael Ippolito, our able call engineer, will try to walk you through solutions. And our call team member, Ann Henney, is also here helping to navigate the agenda. So Michael is pasting the call norms and instructions onto the text pad as we speak. The agenda is already up there. We're experiencing a lovely spring here in north central Florida with cooler than usual temperatures this year, and I hope wherever you are, you're also experiencing the wonders of spring, new birth, new beginnings, enjoying the new life cropping up all around you.
Ann here. It's beautiful in Berkeley, California as well. First up tonight, we're introducing to you our newest board member, Membership Development Chair Shilpa Pandey. Shilpa organized a Wolf branch in her native India, but lives in Texas now. She has some great ideas for where to take membership development, which has been a long-neglected area in Wilkes, U.S. She's looking for members for her committee and has some great ideas about how to enrich the membership experience at Wilkes, U.S. She can tell you all about it. Then we'll have time for some questions and answers from members. Shilpa?
Hello, everyone. Good evening to everybody, and I'm so happy, actually, to be here today and be able to connect with you all. And just a while ago, I was listening to one of our members who was very rightly so describing the mother of all bombs that has just been dropped in Afghanistan. And listening to her and just imagining what is going on with all these bombings, it was enough to send a chill down my spine, forcing horrid imagery of mass destruction that this world may be getting ready to witness in the foreseeable future. Well, we all know that how dangerous for the humanity are the times that we are currently passing through. It is, in fact, therefore, I feel, the most important time when all of us can collectively give a shape and direction to the history of future. Because we know that if war happens this time, the damage will be unprecedented. You know, they say that war ensures survival of the fittest. This old and redundant adage really doesn't hold good given the modern war machinery and technology at the hands of some bygods. And I'm sure a lot of you may have heard of Aldous Huxley quoting, "War takes away young and healthy and leaves behind old and destitute." Well, I think this time old, destitute, and even little children will be engulfed in the nuclear holocaust. I mean, never before it has been so imperative to not only unite, but to unite in such a large number that no other person can scale a wall stronger, taller and more resolute than the results of us Wolf activists. You know, it is with this apprehension that I decided to take up the role of the membership development chair and agreed to shoulder this responsibility, you know, all the responsibility that comes with this position. Although I must confess that while doing so, all of your images were looming large in the frame of my mind, and it gave me an immense amount of comfort and confidence knowing that with all of you beside me, it's not going to be such a daunting task. In fact, as Mary Beth said in the beginning, I started my own journey with Wolves in India, which is where I was born and raised before I adopted United States as my new home a few years ago. And it was in India that I initiated the startup of a young Wolf branch. And today, when I look back at all my interactions with women in India and then compare these interactions to the ones that I now have with the women in the community here in the United States, I marvel at the similarities and the overall perspectives and attitudes, even though these two countries are 10,000 miles away from one another. I mean, to cite an example, one of the similarities worth mentioning is the fact that so many women, young and old, doesn't matter what age they are, so many of them are out there who feel a lot and think a lot, but are not really sure how and what to do with these feelings and thoughts. I mean, what I mean is that they really want to participate in their own way in the affairs of the world that we live in. However, they are not sure how to even begin. And I say that as Wilf women, this is where we need to proactively step in. I mean, this is our chance to provide them with the platform that they are looking for. And the absolutely marvelous history that we as Wilfers can boast of, I mean, I don't think it's parallel. I think it's paralleled by very few other organizations. And, you know, as they say, power in numbers, I would say that this really is a time when we need the power of numbers. And with that, you know, I really would like to open the floor and seek your inputs, your questions, and your suggestions, because I know some of you are such experienced in the world of activism and have such, I would say, absolutely valuable inputs, suggestions that I think will make our, you know, would be so that we are able to generate more value out of our meeting today. So on that note, please do share your questions, inputs, and suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you, Shilpa. I hope you can all see why our board is so excited to have Shilpa on board. She's got a lot of great ideas and projects to move forward. She'll be talking more with individual members, but for now, if you've got any specific questions for Shilpa, or if you want to signify that you're interested in joining her committee, please press number 1 on your phone keypad, not the computer, but the phone keypad, and Mary Beth will start a stack. Number 1 on your phone keypad if you have questions or want to join the committee.
All right. So
I'm going to have to turn the stack over to Michael. My conference link is not working, so he's going to man the stack.
Yeah. And just to make it easier to know who's actually in line to talk and who would like to join the committee, if you could press 2 if you want to join the committee and 1 to be in line to talk, that'd be great. So I have the first one that came up right here was Odile. Odile, your mic is live.
Hi, Shilpa. It's very nice to welcome you. And I'm sure you will have a lot of good ideas. I have a few ideas. Is one, can you hear me?
Hi, Odile. I can hear you very well. Please shoot.
Okay. The first thing is to thank people who are joining as new members. And then
can you please repeat that? Said the what? Are you were cutting out?
To send them a little thank you note to members who are joining, new members that are joining, to send them a little thank you note for joining so they know that somebody is at the other end of the line. And then the second thing is you could do a little competition between branches, and maybe the branch that recruits the most member could get a prize or something like that.
That's a very good idea. That's a good idea. I'm actually making note of it.
Thank you.
Okay. Great. And again, folks, if you'd like to join the group, just press 2. 1 if you want to be in stack to speak. And now is Odile from Ann Arbor. Now we have Linda from Jonesboro, Tennessee. Linda, your mic is live.
Thank you. Well, welcome. I'm so glad to have a membership chair on the board, and I'm a new member, less than a year, as a Wilf member, but wondering, well, a couple of things, since now you're membership chair, what is the U.S. section's membership number in terms of how many do we have in the United States? How many sisters do we have? And then secondly, when you first formed your Wilf group in India, were you in a conservative part of the country, or were there other many other like-minded people? And I ask that because I live in a very conservative rural part of America, but in the state where nuclear weapons were developed, Oak Ridge, Tennessee is only about 125 miles from my house. So those two questions, and I appreciate all that you're doing for us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your questions. And number one, I am sorry, but I don't have the exact figure in front of me as the number concerning the number of members. I do have that in my computer, but I'm on my phone, and I'm happy to actually share that with you. Maybe I can email that to you or on the I'm sure we'll figure out a way to share that information with you. And I'm sorry, I don't have that handy on me. And the next question is the one that you asked about where I started the branch in India. Well, I was actually, you can say, in a way, fortunate enough to be raised in the capital city of the country, which is New Delhi in India. However, India is such a diverse country that within one city, which is supposed to be a metropolis and, you know, the capital of the country, you can see like various different strata or kinds of women, you know, different just education-wise, outlook-wise, perspective-wise. So you can have a whole lot of different women with both rural, urban-rural, urban, educated, all kinds of women. One of the challenges that I experienced when I formed this branch in India was that I was actually very young myself, and I was 26, and I was actually focusing on engaging and mobilizing younger women, because we didn't have any Young Wilf branch in the entire country. And that's not to say that we excluded anybody. It's just that we had more women who were like college going or university going age group. And you know, as far as the outlook is concerned, I was surprised that a lot of educated young women were also quite, I would say, I don't want to use the word educated again, but I would say unaware of a lot of facts, because I think most people feed on the news that they read in the newspapers and television. And there's a big need for actual awareness campaign, I should say, and actual news dissemination for people to be aware of what's going on in the world so that they become more sensitized and more sensitive and become more encouraged and moved from within to join such an organization. Because I am sure once they are made aware, they would be willing to do so. However, the biggest challenge that I thought I encountered was the false notions that these people live by. And that is one thing that I feel is similar to what I experience even here. And that's something actually that I experienced. So I did that answer your question, or would you like to add anything, or was it something, or was I able to answer somewhat what you were looking for, or what you had asked?
Yes, you basically said that by educating the people around you, whether they were well-educated folks or not, but making them aware, in your terms, of the problem of nuclear weapons, that they became receptive. Some of them. So anyway, that's not where right now. I know that there are possibly one or two other WILF members in my area, but we're not at the point of being able to start a branch yet. It's in the plans. It's in the plan. So thank you. Thank you very much.
We're running a little late, so maybe two more questions and quick answers.
Well, there's actually no one else on stack right now. So we actually, you have four people who joined the group, who asked to join the group, but there's no one else unless you press a one now. If you'd like, last call, I guess, for questions.
No, that's okay. We have a lot lying ahead of us. If there's nobody else on the stack, let's move ahead. Thank you, Shola.
Someone
thank
did
you.
Just jump on. One person. One person jumped on. Would you like me to call on them?
Okay.
Peggy Olson, your mic's live.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I would just like to say, Chilka, you sound wonderful and enthusiastic, which we'll very much need, people with enthusiasm for getting new members. And I would like to say that there's, and see this use, that there's an additional reason that we must demand the end of war, which is if war continues, global warming will also continue. And our planet is at risk of collapse. We must stop war to save the Earth.
Thank you so much. I couldn't agree more. And I think that's one of the things that I would like to, when we make our awareness program for. I mean, this is something in the lines of what I would think also, because war is linked to everything. It's related to global warming. It's related to more poverty, less opportunities for people. I mean, it just escalates and keeps going on and on, and leads to many other ills of the society. So I totally agree with that. And of course, climate is very well linked to it. And that's another talking point, and making people aware. And you know, some people might be more interested in climate work, so that also links with this very well. And thank you again. Yes, you're right. I'm very enthusiastic about this role, and I really hope that we can have more and more people in our wonderful organization, WILF. Thank you again.
Thanks, Shilpa, and thanks for those questions. So in June of 2016, we began planning a solidarity event for WILF in which most of our branches would participate. Kind of amazing that it's taken so long to get the details ironed out and the event itself underway. During the branch survey in 2015, you, our members, asked for a solidarity action that would bring you all closer together, amplify our work, our voice as WILF US, and our visibility. You voted on the date in April to hold this. You voted on the theme we'd use, and pretty much designed the idea of a choice of levels of our participation. We provided lots of resources and assistance, but this is your event. 26 branches chose to participate at level one, making or ordering banners, taking banner photos, and sending us your photos. That's more than half of our branches. 23 of those branches also decided to participate at level two or three and are holding an event or joining an event for birthday and making sure our banner and theme is visible. Many of you ordered and received infographic cards to print out. Some of you made up your own handouts, and we were happy to circulate the new ones that the Monterey branch offered. All of our preparations have led us here, and we're just a few days away from Earth Day and the April 22nd events that many of you have planned. I want to talk a little bit about the process and where we're going now. Earlier today, I sent out a list of branches and what they're all doing, and I want to spend a little time on the media effort, which is our next step, to push and promote these events and the theme during the last few days before April 22nd. Like Donald Trump said, no one knew how complicated solidarity work and coordination in WILF was. Well, some of us had an idea. We had not focused on working together for a long time, and our first efforts were to organize around the theme with the banners and signs. So far, we've gotten a lot of your photos. On the agenda on the social media webinar, you can see a link that will take you to the page on our website where you can see all of our photos so far. There are still about four branches that are going to be sending me their photos. For those of you who are Facebook friends, I posted a bunch of them on my Facebook page, and I hope that you will like and share them widely and often. There was a lot of confusion about why we needed these photos so early. Well, because there are a lot of them, and Glenn, our website guy, needed to resize and edit most of them in order to make them look good on the website, and that takes time. If we had gotten them all in the day before the event, he never would have gotten it done in time. Also, we need to get them distributed to our members on Facebook so they can share them, and that also takes time. So this week, we're focused on reviewing all the media lists you sent and developing the national media release. Like everything else, it's taking more time than we hoped. But when we finish, National will have a very good start on a national media list. And for those of you who took the time to furnish actual emails and names of reporters and make the calls and do the research so we had the information we need, thank you. A blessing on your house. By next week, I'll be contacting those WILFers who are on Facebook and asking them to post our photos during the week of April 21st through the 23rd. Hopefully, that will also promote the theme and event. And if you're on Facebook, please take time to like and share those photos repeatedly over the course of that weekend. It's very important so that they get seen. In a typical Facebook timeline, posts are viewed only briefly or scrolled past. So sharing them repeatedly is the only way to be sure that they get seen. Of course, we also urge you to make contacts with your local media as well. This is the week probably to do that. And sharing your banner photo is a good idea while stressing what the local details are for your event. Congratulations to all of you who are joining local Earth Day events, some for the first time, or for the first time in many years. And for those very few of you who actually connected outside of the peace and environmental community with art programs, schools, and performers, not just those wonderful raging grannies, we gave you months and months to do this, and you are making or renewing alliances that will be valuable and lead to more visibility and new members. The fact is that most of our branches do events and tabling all the time. The reason we hope this event will be different is that it presented the possibility for you to step out of your comfort zones and widen the circle to connect with and engage people and organizations you don't normally have a reason to talk to. And some of you did just that. So great work. Hopefully we'll keep getting better and better at this, because doing things the same way all the time produces exactly the same results and attracts just the usual suspects.
This week would be a great time for you to use the list we provided of at-large members in your state to invite at-large members to show up at your events, even help staff them or participate in some way. It might be fun to invite them to have a cup of coffee or a drink with you before or after the event, so you get a chance to socialize with WELF members in outlying regions of your state.
It seems clear from the work it's taken to coordinate these events that in the future, someone in a position of coordinator is absolutely necessary to make all the connections, collect all the information and process it into the kind of reports, email reminders, media releases, and lists of a successful national event. The toolkit we sent out in December will continue to be useful as we organize other events in the future. When we had staff to organize this kind of support, it was easier to mount national events and coordinate them. But now it will fall to a volunteer who must stay on top of the timeline, keep everyone on point if an event like this is going to succeed. So that's how it looks from where I sit. What's been your experience getting ready for this event in your community? And does anyone want to report on what they've done differently this time as opposed to other events or actions you've organized? Or how your experience with our first solidarity event in ages is going? Michael will keep a stack for us. Raise your hand by pressing number one on your phone pad if you want to weigh in. That's number one on your phone pad.
Pardon me. Sorry about that. Yep, we have Alan from Oja, California. Alan, in mic five. Alan, we can't hear you. And then coming up on stack, we've got Jan and Paula, followed by Mary. So, Alan, we'll come back to you, okay, because we don't hear Oja, California, anything coming from you. One more time. Go once, go twice. Okay. Jan, your mic's live. Calling from Des Moines, Iowa. Go right ahead, Jan.
Okay, thank you. I just was going to say it's been interesting working with a new gang. We've got a woman that I put a call in, and she called me right back and filled us in on everything that was happening. We were happy to join the Science March, although that's not to say I don't have some of the same issues that were brought up earlier, but I think all in all it's going to be a great event. We've got a science center here kind of close to the Capitol where this event is going to be held, and also a botanical center, and those two have events for children, and they're going to be bringing people kind of in a circuit, this three-spot circuit, to come up and learn about science and the environment and where our money's going, et cetera. So I think our issue fits right in. And I also like Laura's idea of, money for science, not war. I think we'll do something with that. So I'm glad to be on the call and get that idea. Thank you.
Somebody mentioned in notes that the March for Science people were not letting you table. Is that true?
Oh, hold on a second. Let me get her back up. Jan, go ahead. Your mic's live again.
Yeah, I quarrel with that some, but I, you know, we did accept it in the end. What they are doing is nobody gets to table. They are going to have six, I think it's six, kind of hands-on tables where children, of course anybody, but they're trying to get children up to hear about things. And I don't know exactly what they're going to look like, but they're going to be some sort of a demonstration right there at the Capitol about, you know, linking science and what's happening in the environment. So it's hard to argue with it, although we would rather have had a table. So let me just put it that way.
Okay. Thank you very much. And next we have Paula. Paula, your mic's live from San Jose, California.
Our San Jose chapter of WILF took a photo last week in front of the local Wells Fargo branch. We had intended to take it in front of Apple Computer, but that logistically at the end of the day when all the Apple people are leaving doesn't work. We are participating in the Cupertino, which is one of the little towns here in San Jose, their Earth Day event and handing out the little card of Climate Justice, Women, and Peace. We have been able to get new people involved in WILF through the Raging Grannies because we sang at the Women's March in San Jose and had a booth as well, and so we got 40-plus names through our visibility at the march, and now we are, I agree with Silpa, people want to know what and how do I do something, and somehow singing with the grannies not only releases a lot of pent-up anxiety about what's going on, but it helps people feel like they are doing something. So grannies have been the way WILF has grown in our area, and we've gotten people involved. Our focus this spring is on the nuclear weapons ban treaty with the UN, and we've had one program on it. We're bringing that also to the Cupertino Earth Day celebration with anti-nuclear buttons, working with ICANN-W, and then we will have a program in June. So that's what we're doing. And the solidarity event, we just put together a sign. We didn't buy one. We just put it together and took our photo, and there you are. That's what we've done.
Thank you very much. Paula. Next, we have Mary Hansen Harrison. Your mic's live.
Okay. Hi, and I just wanted to add something to Jan, too. We have, on Saturday, we're having a big tax day rally, Donald ducking his his taxes. So we will have our banner there. We will have our announcement for our solidarity event. We have a WILF speaker, and I'll be emceeing it, so I'm sure WILF will get mentioned many times. And coordinating with the March of Science is extremely important. We have, unfortunately, a lot of ignorance, I think, as far as the connection between military spending, taxes, the climate change, the intersection of all these things, and gender equity issues, and WILF is bringing those all together in both the tax day and in our solidarity event. And to answer your question, we approximately have 1,400 members that we are paying assessment on to international.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Who's next, Michael?
Thank you very much, Mary. Okay, so we're going to go back to Alan at Ojai. I know Alan had like him and her was on the call together. Alan from is it Ojai, California? Is your phone muted? Okay, and okay, we'll try one last time in a second, Alan. Alan Sorb, Ojai, California. Okay, we're going to go back to Odile right now. Odile, your mic's live, and we'll try Alan one last time after. Odile from Ann Arbor. Go ahead, Odile. That's Michigan.
Okay. Well, on Saturday, there is a science march on the 22, and we will be part of that. But on the 23rd, we are doing Earth Day, and this will be our fourth day of doing Earth Day. We have bands, we have a wheels table, we have bands, we have workshops. It's outside, and we have children games. And we've done that for 4 years, so we are very excited to do it. We have also a lot of information and books out there. Anyway, so it will be fun, but we have not been able to do a photo before those events that will gather everyone.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bill. Alan, last shot here. You're on stack. You wanted to speak earlier. I know I pulled you into a breakout. Alan Sorb, Ojai, California. Going once. Check your mute button. Going twice. All right, stack's clear.
Okay, I think we need to close out this section and move on. Anne, are you taking from here?
Sure. Thank you for those great reports. And also, I would like to acknowledge and thank Mary Beth Garden and Barbara Taft and a core group of women from these One Wilf calls who have done a tremendous amount of work to pull all of this together so that we could have a solidarity event. So this is quite an amazing thing for us. And good luck to all of the branches and the members as you put the finishing touches on the events you are preparing for Earth Day. On the One Wilf call that featured Ray Atchison of Reaching Critical Will, you heard Ray ask Wilf U.S. branches to help organize sister marches on June 17th to promote awareness of the historic nuclear weapons ban treaty being negotiated at the UN. The majority of members on the call voted to comply and organize these sister marches for June. But now it's time for the rubber to meet the road. It took 10 months for us to plan our first solidarity event. We've only got 3 months to plan and execute this next event. And it's going to take a lot of collaboration with other peace groups and other kinds of groups to build up the kind of attendance we will need across the country. Disarm Committee is in charge of this second solidarity event. Reaching Critical Will is planning an organizing webinar for women around the world who will march with us. If your branch is considering doing a Women's March to Ban the Bomb event, it might be good to have someone or several folks from your branch attend this webinar and learn what kinds of resources and plans are being made. The webinar information is listed on the social webinar for April 20th, but be sure to use the time zone converter to find out the actual date and time.
Yeah, it's listed as 1400 CEST in Geneva, Switzerland. But I think that's 2 o'clock in the afternoon there, which would make it 8 a.m. the next morning here on the East Coast. So check your time converter to make sure you don't miss the call. There's also a very powerful video being circulated on Facebook, which Michael recommended to us from Science Insider. It's the kind of tool that might be useful in helping build support for a Women's March to Ban the Bomb Take a look at it when you have time and consider how you might make use of it locally. It's posted in the middle of the agenda on the social webinar, and that's where you'll find the Reaching Critical Will webinar information as well. So I'm going to turn this over to Robin Lloyd and Ellen Thomas from Disarm, who will talk about what their plans are moving forward and how your branch could fit into the picture of the Women's March to Ban the Bomb. Ellen, Robin, can you give us some parameters for what branches should be doing now and for the next 3 months to stay on track and make sure they have a successful march? And what might branches do on April 22nd to start signing people up to march with them on June 17th?
Hi, can you hear me? This is Robin.
Yep, we can hear you.
Oh my gosh, okay. Because I wasn't sure that I was clicking the right place. Well, wonderful. I've been listening and excited by all the energy I'm hearing. I'm in Burlington, Vermont, and I have been on the calls for the march on June 17th, and looking right now at the little flyer we have for that. As others have said, you can gain more information at ICAN, I-C-A-N, and our own website about that. And in my town, yes, we're planning to do what you're suggesting, and that is on the 22nd, where we're having a whole conference, actually, with other groups. We will be stressing this event and hoping that we can organize a bus. You know, organizing buses is easier these days because it's kind of corporatized. And anyway, for us, we could go down and come back. I'm hoping that people not far away from New York can take part in the New York March because we want to get significant numbers. As you know, that will be right at the beginning of the longer session at the UN, at the General Assembly. And from all I've been able to read of the first week that of collaborating together, it went quite well amongst those who wanted to take part. Of course, the United States had organized the nuclear nations to adamantly not take part, so that will continue to be a struggle. But you know, I think we're on a roll here with this idea. It's a matter of cajoling and shaming as well the nuclear nations to come around to see that this is a step that must be taken. And I am incredibly appalled today, actually, by the fact that Trump has dropped the largest bomb that's ever been dropped in the history of the world, as that's what I understand it. I haven't really gone to the to see about this, but dropped it in Afghanistan, and it's just a terrible feeling that he's on a roll with dropping things, either missiles or bombs. And that's why this issue is so important for us to build a really powerful grassroots movement to ban nuclear weapons. So I think that Mary Beth mentioned a number of the things that are important to think about, the short film that can be seen about the incredible power that nuclear weapons now have, far, vastly more powerful than the Hiroshima, and that we just need to tell our neighbors and plan our own sister marches. And the one issue, just to end with this, is the need to maybe identify someone who wants to step forward to sort of coordinate those sister marches. Where are they going to take place so that we can, again, as Mary Beth has done with the Earth Day events, so that we can publicize them. And, you know, we already have the flyer, Women Demand an End to the Nuclear Era. And so that can be the slogan. So let's see what we can do to build that up and share the information. Does anyone on this call want to step forward with being the person who receives information about where people are, where women are organizing marches?
If so, raise your hand by pressing number 1 on your phone keypad.
Alan, your mic's live.
Hello, Mike. Yes.
Your mic's live. Go ahead.
Yes, and before we wanted to talk and we couldn't, but yes, we would love to organize WILF marches all over the United States. We do have weekly vigil already, Fridays in Ohio, and we would like the membership chair to help us because we are working to really revive San Diego chapter, to create a Santa Paula chapter, and to revive Santa Barbara and work on Ventura. So we need membership, new membership person to help us, as well as we are willing to work on marches, organizing marches nationwide.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful.
Yes, and we...
Okay.
You want to talk?
So this is Ellen. So am I on?
Yeah, you're on, Ellen.
Okay. I think that if we can think of June 17th as being our next solidarity action, and really getting the word out using social media and as well as through the branches and whatever other organizations that you belong to, it would be wonderful if there were an outpouring of people into the streets to say, to ask the United States to support the nuclear weapons ban treaty, you know, like January 21st. And if you know anybody who's good at organizing, you can go to Women's March to Ban the Bomb. Either Google it or go to Facebook and look it up, and find out how you can get in touch with Reaching Critical Will. They're coordinating the New York March, but they also are putting up information about sister marches around the country.
Save the bomb?
And I'm about to leave on a 2-month tour of the Eastern United States, and the main focus of my tour is to talk about ways to get rid of nuclear weapons. And I think it's really exciting about what's happening at the United Nations. And there also has been a bill in Congress ever since 1994 as a result of a successful voter initiative in Washington, D.C. that we brought. It has not yet been reintroduced this session. I think that Eleanor Holmes Norton of D.C. has been holding back to see if she can get some support, because it's every year there are very few representatives sign on, probably because they don't know about it, and they don't know about it because we're not telling them about it. And so I'm asking, on my tour, I'm hoping that people will help to lobby their Congress people to support the nuclear weapons ban treaty and the Nuclear Weapons Abolition and Energy Conversion Act that supports a nuclear weapons ban treaty and says, let's get rid of the nuclear weapons and use the money that's saved instead, move the money into clean energy and other human needs. We call it Proposition 1. And if you're interested in knowing about the tour if you want to participate in it. I've got a Facebook page set up, and you can just go to NFF Tour for Nuclear Free Future Tour on Facebook, and that'll give you the itinerary and how you can get in touch to see if I can stop by or where the events are going to be.
Okay, thank you very much, Helen. And so the order, we have Mary Hanson Harrison, and then we're going to have Shilpa, who has a hand up, and then Nancy Price. Okay, and that should be the stack right there. Mary, your mic's live.
Yes, I'm just going to give you the URL. It's www.womenbandthebomb.org, and they have a toolkit up now how to organize. They also have a map that you can put your city on, and I encourage everybody to get on the URL to get on the Women Band the Bomb site and put your city on there, so we will have WILF covered across the country in the next few weeks. So I hope everybody is willing and able to do that, and we will help in every way possible. Thank you.
Don't forget to put your name as part of WILF when you sign up for that, so they know that it's a WILF branch that's doing it.
And I just included that on the social webinar. So that's also at the very bottom.
Thank
of
you.
The notes right there. You're welcome. Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next, we have Shilpa. Shilpa, your mic's live. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd just like to quickly add, I know one of my WILF sisters just asked that they would want the membership development person to help out with the branches that they're trying to revive. I just want to reassure them that I'm very much there, and I'm actually looking forward to helping, you know, supporting and actually doing whatever it takes to revive our branches and get new members. And I would really request them to maybe join the membership development committee, and that way we can have our focused discussions on how we can go about reviving more members and branch members. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shilpa. And if you want, before the end of this call, we can have another opportunity. If anyone was inspired by this call to get more than four people who want to join your group. All right, Nancy Price. Your mic is live.
Yes, hello everybody. Quickly, remember, this coming week, the Congress members, senators, and House of Representative members from your district and your state are still on vacation. They may be holding meetings. They may be holding office hours. So please, call their office, their local or the whatever office is nearest you. Make an appointment. Go see them. Even take signs and stand out in front of their local office that says ban the bomb or whatever message you think is necessary right now. At any town hall you go to, be sure you get to the microphone and ask a question about this further militarization and warmongering of Trump. Thank you.
Thank you
very
Nancy.
Much, Nancy. Laura Dewey from the Detroit branch heads up our nominating committee for WILF US. She is planning a special leadership training for WILF members one day before Congress. Laura, can you describe how this will work and what it will cover?
I do not see – oh, there she is. Hold on one second. Sorry, I had to find Laura. Laura, your mic's live. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, years ago at the Congresses, they used to have what they call the leadership training. I have never participated in one. But a member of our nominating committee, Darian DeLu, recalls participating, and she thought it was a good idea. So our nominating committee discussed it and decided we'd like to go ahead. What this is, it's a way of, the goal in my mind is to train leaders, activist members who may not think of themselves as leaders, but are some of the more active members in your branches, to train them, to turn them into confident leaders. The goal is to strengthen the branch work, the grassroots work, by strengthening our leaders and our potential leaders. And over time, I would hope to see that these leaders then also become leaders on a national level, that they join national committees and eventually run for the board, but that we always continually train new leaders at the grassroots level. I think it's really important to strengthen our work at the branches. So the Leadership Institute is a separate from the Congress in that we are forming our own cohort of people who will come hopefully a day early, which would be Wednesday the 26th. We begin a training then and then into the all day Thursday, because the Congress doesn't really start till Thursday night. And we will be working with them on a lot of issues related to leadership. But we also, so there'll be some skills training, but there'll also be, they will be learning about the structures of WILF, you know, national and international. They'll be hopefully meeting with a few national board members about what it's like to be, to balance your work, your life, and activism. We want to show them that leadership is a team effort. We want to teach them how to involve members and how to effectively delegate, you know, responsibilities. We want to also do a workshop about the international institutions of WILF, and we'd love to have, we're hoping to have someone from international there to speak to the group. So there are going to be many workshops. We don't have the schedule set up. Some of the workshops might intersect with the Congress workshops also. Our hope is that the people in this cohort will not miss the Congress. They will be participating in the Congress, but they will also be coming back together to reflect on the Congress and the workshops and what they are seeing and experiencing. So they are, it's a separate cohort, but at the same time, we want them to form a group that will support each other during the Congress, but also after the Congress. And so ultimately the goal is to develop leadership, and we think this could be one means of doing so. There will be an application process, and I'm explaining all this to you because I'm hoping that some people on this call would either be interested in participating or could help me identify members in your branches who I could approach and say, you know, would you consider doing this, you know, become a part of the Leadership Institute. And the kind of people we're looking for are people who, you know, they're active in their branch, but maybe they don't see themselves as a leader, but they definitely contribute to the branch, or people who are emerging leaders. You know, they may have never... maybe they're not a chair of a branch, but there's someone who may have led a project within the branch. So those are the kind of people we want to look for, whether they're, you know, newer members or old people who've been WILF members for a long time, it doesn't matter. So that is just a basic summary, and feel free to ask questions if there's time on this call.
Thank you, Laura. That sounds great. Can you just clarify, is it actually a separate day or is it concurrent with the Congress?
It's concurrent with the Congress, but what we're aiming for is that, the Congress begins Thursday night. We would really like to get the Institute started Wednesday afternoon. We want people to arrive Wednesday morning, get it started Wednesday afternoon for those who can arrive then, and then all day Thursday. And then during the Congress, there are times when some workshops will be repeated. So we will have our cohort attend one set of workshops, and then when the workshops are repeated, we'll do more leadership training. And then there'll be opportunities for them to get together during meal times.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And how will people sign up for this extra day at Congress, Laura?
They will have to apply for the leadership training. And then we would contact them and tell them how to sign up. It's we have set aside rooms, so it's not a matter of, I mean, they would sign up for the Congress, the normal, you know, through the online, whatever the system that Chris Wilbeck is devising right now. So it's not, it would just be done through an application process through the nominating committee.
Okay, so they could probably figure it out by contacting you then?
You got cut off. I didn't hear you.
They could figure it out by contacting you directly?
Yes, and people can send an email to the nominating committee, which is nominatingcommittee@wilfus.org. That's our email address. But pretty soon we're going to also send out an application to the branches and hopefully through an e-alert. But if you wanted to contact us now, you can definitely email us at nominatingcommittee@wilfus.org.
Great, thank you. We went a little bit out of order. I wanted to give Nancy Price and Robin Lloyd an opportunity to discuss what they're planning for the National Congress program. Congress is coming up July 27th through 30th in Chicago, and they've been doing a lot of work putting together a good plan. Nancy and Robin, can you tell us just exactly how exciting and important this conference will be and why our branches need to consider sending at least one representative to Chicago?
Okay, so this is Nancy Price. I'm going to start off. And we hope certainly that more than one person from a branch will come. We want to see a huge contingent of activist women coming to this Congress because it is an activist working Congress. The title of the Congress, as you may have seen on the e-news that just went out, is Rise Up, Women Organizing for Action. Remember, Reclaim, Reimagine. Those are the three R's for the Congress. And we're beginning to really get it organized first because we sent out the survey, and thank you all of you who opened up and responded to the Survey Monkey. It was really important that we get the survey responses and the input. If you haven't answered that survey, please look back in your emails and be sure that you fill that out and send it in. It's an online survey. It won't take you more than 3 or 4 minutes to do it, or even less. So I just like to give you the results because this is helping us shape the program for those days. The top 5 replies on the issue group are climate change, soil, not oil, and food sovereignty, 21st policing, and all that entails in terms of the issues that Black Lives Matter raise, for example, the 2018 midterm elections, which is really important that we begin now to strategize around what we are going to be asking candidates about, next steps to ban the bomb, and more about ending the nuclear era and all those issues connected with war and peace, and then community rights. So these are the 5 highest in percentage topics. Even so, many of the other issue topics that were marked by people, we can to some extent fold them into these top 5. Very naturally. So that will happen. And then I wanted to let you know on the skills workshops, there was a very nice breakdown. The skills were building effective alliances with other organizations working on similar issues, diversity and anti-oppression training, storytelling to change the narrative toward peace and freedom, using social media effectively, personally for your branch, for WILF, et cetera, and ways to build active, engaged branch membership. So those are the top 5, but as I said just a minute ago, we can fold some of the skills workshop requests into these top five. The survey is due tomorrow, the 15th. Is tomorrow the 15th? Saturday is the 15th.
Right, tomorrow's the 14th.
Yeah, so Saturday's the 15th. Be sure you get your survey in. Then I'm going. Robin and I will receive the answers. We've gotten about 100 or more back. That's a very good representation among membership, but we still would like to see more. And then Robin and I will begin to put this program together and assigning slots. But the flow of the program is really important. Thursday night, we're going to focus on international and national WILF in terms of the issues of war and peace, ban the bomb, and we're going to have our own folks from Disarm speak. We have an invitation out to, or going out to Phyllis Bennis, who many of you know. And if Odile's still on the out there, please do send me that contact that you might have to Helen Caldicott. We also have a very good person, a woman who's with Physicians for Social Responsibility, to highlight the health, public health, and environmental impacts of war and nuclear bombs and nuclear energy. Then Friday night, we have a terrific panel completed with commitments made of local activists from Chicago who will bring to us what their organizing has looked like, what they have been organizing around. These are young, wonderful young activists, women of color, and from diverse communities, speaking about DAPL, fossil fuels. One young woman is a Native American, about stopping a stopping a waste incinerator project, so environmental justice issue, and then Black Lives Matter. So, and this will be moderated by a person that has been working with World Beyond War, Mary Dean, who lives in Chicago. She will give us an overview of activism in Chicago. Then Friday and Saturday, we will hear from Larry Spivak, who is with the Labor History Center in Chicago, about labor organizing in the past, labor organizing going into the future in terms of recognizing labor rights, human rights, and civil rights, and how we can rebuild labor in this country that's so important. Then, in order to really hear from members and branches, we will go from the issue topic workshops to branch discussions organized regionally and then organized by the major topics they work on, and then we'll move into the issue groups discussions. And the agenda for this remains to be sort of fleshed out, but the idea is to look at past accomplishments and challenges, present-day opportunities, and next steps moving forward, so that we really build toward then Saturday skills, which will move us towards Sunday, when we come together to really look at what next steps for WILF and the issue groups will look like going into the next 3 years. How that Sunday morning discussion is organized is we'd like to hear from you on this call to if you have some ideas how to facilitate that. We'll also hear from board members about mini grants and other information and notices that the that board members would communicate to us. So this is also going to be complemented by some great music on Thursday and Friday night. And if you'd like, I don't know, maybe Robin, now you might like to talk about the bus tour, and then we could take some questions and answers. Meanwhile, Michael, could you put up our email addresses? Do you have them there handy, or do you want me to give you mine?
You and Robbins, I can put those up right now.
Okay.
Yep,
and then let me just give you my phone number. It's 530-758-0726. I'd love to hear from anybody on this call about your any comments or questions about the program as I outlined it. We want to have this all go live on May 1st for registration, so we're really working hard now to consolidate our ideas and get this program put together. Thank you very much. Over to you, Robin.
Yeah, okay. So I'd like to just tell about the bus tour. That's pretty much solidified. It's a small bus, 22 seats, so please register early. We could possibly go to a larger bus, but anyway, that's the way it is at the moment. It's on Thursday from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And so please consider your, if you're interested in doing this, and I will elaborate on the, what the tour itself is in a moment, but if you're interested in doing this, you know, consider your mode of getting to Chicago and that your flight gets in either the night before or early enough so that you can take part in this tour. So the tour we selected from an outfit called Chicago Detours is through the neighborhoods and through the history of the storied history of Chicago, the different minority groups and ethnic groups that have played such a vital role in Chicago history. And I mean, meanwhile, we will see we'll be passing by the waterfront of Lake Michigan and so on. And the plan is that although the tour is 3 hours, the guide is with us only for 2 hours. And we will, at the moment, we have the option of what to do with the third hour. What I'm suggesting is that we stop at the Mexican Museum. If you look around, there's a lot of things we could do for that last hour. But the Mexican Museum is a kind of a, well, it's not that new really, but for me as a person who comes from the Chicago area, it was not, did not exist when I was there as a younger person. And it's said to be quite a fantastic museum. So the idea would be we would stop there. And then the bus, we'd still have the bus, but not the tour guide, and we'd come back to the hotel. So it costs $25. The whole thing is kind of subsidized because in reality, these things cost more. So I'm kind of excited that this will be a way to sort of sweep us into the Midwest on a tour of Chicago. So are there any questions about that?
Raise your hand by pressing number 1 if you have questions.
It looks like the stack is clear.
Okay, no questions. Good, because we're running just a few minutes behind. this is where I get to tell you a little bit about our new development committee goal for 2017, which is, are you sitting down? $73,000. That's a lot of money. A few months ago, we sent out a postcard to all of our members about the Cup of Coffee Sustainer campaign. That's the one where you donated as little as $5 a month. So if 218 of our 1,400 members did that, we'd reach our Cup of Coffee goal of $13,000. That's 218 people donating as little as $5 a month. And that would help us towards that big goal of $73,000. We asked branch leaders to make their calls to members about this, but so far that hasn't happened widely. I know you've been really, really busy. but please expect a call from your branch or our committee members to urge you to consider this modest but regular contribution to WILF. It could make a huge difference.
Okay, next topic. As some of you may have heard by now, our staff person in Boston, Ariane Blondin, has taken a new job. But before she left, she let us know that the landlord who owns the building where our office has been since 2007 or so is planning on selling the building. While this won't happen right away, without a staff person on premises daily, it seems prudent to consider closing the office and looking for another site. As a national organization, we could move the office anywhere in the country, even New York branch. Our treasurer, Dan Quarterman, is going to take a few minutes to talk about next steps. Dan?
I'm sorry.
Dan Quarterman?
Ann Quarterman, you said? I'm not sure. Ann, could you press the number 2, please? I'm not seeing you on here. Oh, Jan Quarterman. I thought you said Ann. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mary Beth. I guess the first thing I'd like to say is that the first step, of course, is getting everything out of the Boston office. And we've had some great help from Eileen Krakowski. I know Eileen is normally on these calls. Is she on tonight?
No, she had a conflict tonight, Jan.
Okay, I didn't see her name, but she's been great. She's been checking in the office to make sure that any mail is forwarded, just in case the post office misses something. Been taking other steps that are necessary to get us ready to move. And Candace Perry and I are going to take up the charge of getting us out of the office. Candace has been in contact with Joan Bizarre, which I know is a name that many of you know, to make sure that we get our archives over to Swarthmore. So in that process, Candace has already made contact with Swarthmore. And so in the process, we're going to be able to update our archives, which I think will be something positive for our organization, and then move us out of the office. So it's kind of a big job, but I think we're up for it. The steering committee did kind of come up with a committee to think about next steps for what would next steps be. Do we want to consider a virtual office? Do we need brick and mortar? So they're going to take a look at that. I guess the other thing I'd say is that we did find someone who's going to be working with us for kind of the day-to-day stuff, as well as kind of looking over our processes to see if we need to do any improvements. It's kind of a good time when we don't have any staff there to kind of look at it from the outside and see what if there's anything that we could do to improve any of our processes. It happens to be the same person who's working with us on the contest. Her name is Chris Wilbeck, and she's a consultant as well as a WILF member. She's actually a member of our branch. So in the meantime, I think we're doing everything we can to keep everything going, to meet all of our members' requests and keep everything going the way we'd all like it to. So I guess that's what I'd would report, unless anybody has any questions.
I wanted to give Mary Hansen Harrison a chance to comment if she wanted to before we move on to the last item. Mary?
Okay. Mary, you might fly.
I had myself on mute. So, yes, This is a time that we've been talking about this for years. As you well know, we sold the Ray Street building when we were in Philadelphia, and that took, you know, a lot of back and forth and some hard feelings. This is a time where we can get input from the membership, and we're looking forward to this. We have been in the last 2 years or 3 years, we've been having a remote. For instance, our interim director was in Boston and in Albuquerque, or not Albuquerque, but New Mexico. So we have some experience now with remote office, and that's a possibility. We also have a possibility of what city we would want to be in. And as I said, this is an exciting time in many ways. It was it wasn't planned particularly. I mean, the lease is coming up, and they're not going to renew it, but we don't know for sure exactly how many months we have left. And this will give us a little breathing time, at least a couple of months, to see where we could go. We could do this through a monkey survey or something similar to that. So we are looking forward to input from our members. And I think, you know, we have a challenge. There's no doubt that this is something that will take a lot of effort. And thank heaven we have people like Jan and Eileen and, you know, several other people, Candace, and people who will help us do that. So we all have to pitch in and support them and ourselves, too, to make sure that we get input. So we're looking forward to it and hope that we can well, it's exciting. We'll see what happens. You know, this is something that we can talk about at Congress as well. We are reimagining our future. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mary. If you have questions about this, and please consider staying on the soapbox portion of the call for a few minutes, but we want to move on to the next thing, which is the last item we're going to be talking about. On our November One Wealth call, we had Phyllis Bennis give us a searing assessment of the complex proxy wars in Syria and why it was best for the U.S. to stay out of Syria. Today, it's a very different reality in response to the Trump administration's illegal and irresponsible missile attack last week. WILF U.S. has issued another statement on Syria, which will be posted soon to the WILF website. Is anyone from the Middle East Committee on the call here? I know Odile is, and I don't know if Barbara Taft is too. Barbara, could you, can you and Odile, either of you or both of you, just talk a little bit about this statement and when it will be released for our members?
Hello?
Hello, Odile?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Okay.
And Barbara Taft is also, I think Michael is opening Barbara's mic too.
Yes. Okay. What happened is that Barbara Nielsen presented to the Syrian, to the Middle East Committee, a former Syria statesman that we had done and that she updated because she felt that the time was short and we didn't have time to write a new one. So we will be writing a new one on weapon of mass destruction with much more information on the bombs that have been exploding recently also. So, but if Barbara wants to say something, please go ahead.
Okay. For those of you who remember that we issued a statement on Syria some time ago, this is essentially the same statement, but with a little bit stronger wording based on the most recent events. when we issued our statement before, what we basically said was that Syria is such a complex situation that we should not go jumping into it and doing irresponsible things, and that it's very hard to know who is on what side and what is really happening there. This was affirmed when Phyllis Bennis talked to us. The only thing that she criticized in our original statement was that when we listed a bunch of countries that were involved there, we had not listed Saudi Arabia. The current statement basically speaks to the fact that Trump's bombing of Syria was a response without any real investigation going before it, and that was something that will lead to not only hardship on the ground for the people affected by it, but ill will between nations, and especially a lot of ill will toward the U.S. for jumping in there and doing something really, really bad. As we did before, we have some action items at the bottom, and we're hoping that this will be out and online for all of you to be able to use in whatever you want to do in regard to working on the issue of Syria within the next couple of days. It's gone through most of the approval process and is very nearly ready to go up online.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
And we will have a new statement that we're just going to start working on this week. This coming, not this week now, but next week actually. So, because the situation demands more information.
Okay, thank you very much. We all appreciate your work on that, and it's encouraging that we were able to respond so quickly. Good job.
This is Robin speaking. Can I speak?
Hi, Robin. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let me just report that our Burlington branch met right before this meeting. It's always the second Thursday of the month, and we had a very lively discussion. We read the statement out loud to each other, and a lot of ideas for additions and so on. So what I'm understanding from Odile that although there is one statement, that we read, which has 6 points towards the end of the following actions, that we will be revising that, and our members could throw in some suggested additions.
Yeah, I guess that's what it sounds like. I think you should be in touch with Barbara Taft and Ardeal.
Okay.
And let them know your suggestions.
Let me just say one thing is that one of the ideas that came out is we need to talk to Syrian women. And the point is that Madeleine Reese, our Secretary General, has been doing that and has been doing it for a number of years, and in a sense, I think we need to refer to her in our release and commend what she's done. And you know, there are a number of postings on the International Wolf website that I believe I have to check on them myself that tell about how International has sought to integrate Syrian women into the peace treaty and into the peace discussions whenever they take place. So I think that's just one of the, to my mind, important additions that we wanted to make. But we will write them out and send them to Barbara and Odile.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, everyone, for calling in tonight. I want to say that we will meet again on Thursday, May 11th, to hear about how the April 22nd events turned out. Remember to have your sign-up sheets there for folks who stop by your tables and events, and maybe even talk to them about marching with you on June 17th. If you have suggestions for speakers in future calls that you would like to have address the membership, please let me know. at onewilfcalls, that's plural, onewilfcalls@gmail.com. Anyone for questions with Mary or Jan or anybody else who is on the speaker on the call or wants to make an announcement or ask about anything else, please stay on the soapbox segment, which will go on for another 15 minutes or so. Thank you, Michael Ippolito and InterOccupy for your help with this call, and also Ann Henney from the East Bay branch. Michael, if you open all the mics, we can say goodnight to one another and stay on for the soapbox if you would like to. Thanks, everybody.
And thank you all. And we do have, I have six people already lined up for the soapbox. You'll be the first to go. We'll make sure everyone gets a chance to speak. Mics are live if you'd like to say goodnight.
Okay, goodnight, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And we'll do the soapbox right away. Michael, if you have a stack started, why don't you just call on people? I feel very blind not having that console link tonight. I can't see who's raising their hand.
Nancy Price, go right ahead for the first one.
Oh, well, this is Nancy. Actually, I raised my hand to ask Jan Quarterman a question about the office business, so you can lower my hand now. Thank you.
Okay. I think Jan might still be on. Would you like her to answer?
No, I think I'll just skip that for the moment.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy. Next, we have Ellen Thomas. Ellen, your mic's live.
Yeah, thank you. About the future, I just wanted to say that if we're going to be changing offices, I think it would be good to think about having it in D.C. And when I'm in D.C. in May for Alliance for Nuclear Accountability, I'll do some checking around to see if there are any viable options for us.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ellen. Next, we're going to have Linda Cataldo Mondica. Is that how I pronounce that? And you're in Jonesboro, Tennessee.
Just call me Linda. My question for the leaders of this wonderful group is, if you had to choose, would you rather an activist organize a busload of people to go to the New York March, or would you rather that activist organize a smaller event, whatever could be done in her neck of the woods? That's the quandary I've got going forward, and I'd like some guidance from those of you who have been around in the organization for a real long time. Thanks.
Mary Beth, your mic's live. I can turn on other people's mics as well. She'll
play
your mic live too.
I think that, Linda, what I would suggest is that if people are in areas where they believe that it's reasonably practical to do a march in their area, they have enough interest, and as you described your area as being so conservative, that may not be the best place to do such a march. But in places in other parts of the country where it's more possible to gather people under this, I would think that where there are people who can get to New York and have a less viable opportunity for a march, that would make sense for them to go to New York. And in areas where, there are liberals and progressives and people who are concerned about nuclear annihilation, and they think that they can motivate them, it makes sense to do sister marches because anything we can do that amplifies the work in New York would help spread the message. I hope that answers your question a little bit.
It does. Thank you. Really, because this is Southern Appalachia here. Although we, you know, it was surprising for the sister march for the Women's March on Washington in January, we had a real good turnout. And then it's looking pretty good for a sister march for the climate march on April 29th. But
well,
if you're different, you know, and it's just really different. Although this latest bombing, you know, and I'm personally offended as a mother that this bomb is called the mother of all bombs, by the way. This latest offensive in Afghanistan, too, in addition to what's happening to Syria, including killing friendly forces through this war, maybe by June, the anti-war fervor will it be able to build that up by then, and maybe we can have something substantial in Southern Appalachia here.
It's only 3 months away, so I guess you have to sort of put your feelers out and see what you can accomplish and what makes the most sense for you. I think, personally, because we only have 3 months, we should try to focus our efforts on branches that have the most chance of getting a good showing. But that's just
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Michael, okay.
What else do we have?
Next, we have Mary Harrison. You're mic five.
Okay. Yeah, right, Linda. I think one of the experiences that you have if you go to New York, if you get a busload, is that you'll meet some really interesting people, not just like-minded, but who would help you. And it would give you a bigger, I think, a feeling for Wilf International and National in a different way. I know when I first started, I was just very centered on my own branch, and I didn't have much to do with national, and even less to do with international. But after you meet, when you come to some of those meetings and you meet these women, it gives you a better perspective, and you won't feel like you're so alone. So if you have people there on the ground that were interested in and attended the Women's March, maybe they would like to go with you to New York and meet some of these people. So I think there's no way you could lose. You could whatever experience you'll have, I'm sure will be better than not. And so I encourage you to think about going to New York seriously. But again. I think local, of course, would be very important, but going to New York will give you a better feeling of what Wilf can offer that other organizations can't.
And you might be successful in signing up some local people who will then help you develop more of a base in your community. So I agree with Mary.
Right.
Who else do we got, Michael?
Yes. So coming up next, we have Alan Schwab from OJ, California.
Oh, hi.
Okay, Spanish. Okay, hello. This is Nuri and Alan. What I wanted to address with the leaders is that
really, if there was any way that we could, that Wills could, on cases of what happened with Syria and now then what happened with Afghanistan, if Wills would enable itself to respond by mass a movement of the chapters, even if it would be an hour demonstration, all of us together to the act, that would be a big thing, 50-some chapters and all of us coming out when, if Wills could organize all of us in response to events like that to show the solidarity and the power of women and power of Wills in responding to these things, like urgent demonstration or urgent coming out. Everybody.
Well, that's a good idea. I will remind you how long it took us to organize the first solidarity event, but hopefully we've got our ground legs under us now and could possibly do some, I think Mary talked about doing this sort of an invitation to act out once a week, something like that, Mary?
Yes, act out every we can send out a similar to what the Women's March is doing, is that we, for the first 100 days, that we could do a weekly, put out a weekly bulletin and say, here, this is what is coming to the forefront this week. You can join, and eventually, I think we are all on the same page. We all listen to the same unfortunate news, and perhaps if we get used to looking at this every week, we have one thing that we can work on, not exclusionary, but that all of us will be thinking about once a week. I think that will be very helpful, but that's in the planning stage. But I think that's what you're talking about a little bit.
Yeah, it would require somebody who really focused on making that happen. So that's the tricky part. But thank you very much, Uri and Alan. Michael, anybody left?
Yeah, we have still a few. Cheryl Spencer, Palo Alto, California. Your mic's live.
Hey, Cheryl, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine. So the longer the soapbox has gone on, the more I have thoughts. So regarding the 17th of June marches, one thing that Wilf branches do is go and picket those companies who are supporting the nuclear weapons industry. So you might not be able to have enough people to have a march, but you could gather people together around here. We go out and stand outside Lockheed, for example. Santa Cruz and Monterey people, they go down to a military base somewhere near Monterey. So you could choose your nearest military base, choose your nearest commercial industry that you know contributes to nuclear weapons industry, and go picket them. Okay, and that could be just as noteworthy for the media, because you would say this is because people are marching in New York because there's this treaty that we're trying to get. So that's just one idea. Those who can't actually organize a march. Second item, I think I heard in passing that we don't have a managing director anymore. I didn't hear anything else about that. When I've done my little bit, maybe somebody could talk about the loss of our managing director and whether I heard we lost our administrator, but I believe the managing director is a different person, and whether we're actually going to get another one or not. And you were just talking about, oh, no, it's gone out of my mind. What was the last thing we were talking about?
We were talking about
the bomb. The bomb on Afghanistan. You're right. So you know, for our 22nd of April event, we have a table at the Earth Day in Cupertino. We have a table, we're showing a film, but we'll have, you know, a discussion time. And then this tax day on April the 15th, we have a table outside Palo Alto City Hall. Those are all opportunities to have, you know, some kind of statement about this bomb. We don't have to wait, you know, for 3 months. You can just add it to whatever you're already doing. You don't need to wait. You can, you know, talk about bombs on Syria and bombs on Afghanistan on the 22nd of April. So those
good
are
idea.
The
maybe
things
we
I wanted
can
to
get
say.
Maybe we can
and
get a petition going.
Well, yeah, we're having a petition for Palo Alto to join the Mayors for Peace organization that you can Google.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We used to be a member city since 1985 to 2013, and then a mayor decided not to be a member anymore, so we're petitioning now the city council to come back. Their Mayors for Peace is specifically for banning nuclear weapons. City by city, there are 7,200 cities worldwide who are members of Mayors for Peace, and 207 cities in the U.S. and 31 in California. So, anyway, so will somebody please fill us in about the managing director?
Sure.
Dan, is that you or is that Mary? Who wants to speak?
It's me. Can you tell? Oh, do I have to
okay,
do that?
Okay, yes, Mary. No, Mary, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I want to talk to you first just what your last comment was about mayors for peace, because our mayors, I don't know if they call him the president or the, whatever they call it, the leader. He's one of the founding members. And that's one of the things we're doing on tax day. So you don't have to leave it to the 22nd either. Do you have a tax day, by the way? Any of you on the call? I don't know who's on the call, but do you have activism on tax day? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Palo Alto.
What do you do?
We have a table outside the City Hall of Palo Alto with other organizations, our local peace and justice community, and we have a speaker, which happens to be Jackie Cabasso, who is working on banning nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
And we're going to be asking people, you know, to talking about not having their tax money go towards the military industrial complex and what have you. But we just heard there's another event in Palo Alto the same time, which is the tech workers are going to be marching to from one plaza to, I can't remember, I think Apple Store, to tell the Apple management to stand up to Trump regarding workers.
Okay.
Oh, no, regarding, no, Trump not issuing his tax forms. So we will also have a large we will also have a large inflatable duck, apparently. I finally understood now from Donald Duck, right? Donald Duck taxes. So
ducking his taxes.
Ducking his taxes. I got it finally. So, but unfortunately, there was no coordination between the two groups. So our thing in front of City Hall, and they will be three blocks away, you know, marching from another plaza to Apple. It was a big Apple store in downtown Palo Alto. So there's going to be, you know, a lot of stuff going on in Palo Alto on this Saturday, 2 days from now.
Good, good. Congratulations. Yeah, to go back to the managing director, I think I had written down in one of my emails or President's Corner that it's like a family. It never rains, but it pours. So we have another challenge, not just the fact that Ariane had left for another job, but that our managing director had resigned. She did stay for a couple of months and just resigned at the end of March. So we have an interim person that I think Jan had mentioned, who is our coordinator at the moment for the Congress. She's multifaceted. She wasn't an executive director, so she can fill in while we get a chance to breathe, stand back, and reassess what it is that we have, that we want. Do we want a managing director? Do we want an executive director? Do we want a development director? The job market and the mobility now is so much different than, for instance, even 5 years ago, that you can have people working, as I said, remotely. So we have a chance to have a discussion again about, in 2015, we had a board retreat in Houston and decided that it was a compromise. Some of us wanted an executive director, other people wanted a managing director or a lesser. So we ended up with a managing director. Now, I think that it's appropriate right now, since we are going to have to get out of the lease. We're going to we do have breathing space with Chris being hired to as a transition or a bridge to have a more just open discussion with the whole membership too. I don't know exactly how the process for that, to get your opinions, because, you know, we've been working as a board very closely. We're a very hard-working board. There are, as you know, there are some of us on the board who work, you know, 40 hours a week, and I think Mary Beth must work 60. But we all have a very active board and work very hard to accommodate a membership base. We have really listened to you, listened to our membership. We had been called, since I've been president, to be a membership guided or driven organization, more so than the previous year. So we've worked very hard at that. I've gone out to branches, talked with you, and got to know you better. Mary Beth and others have started with a One Wealth call. We now have a membership development person that is really very capable, as you could hear, and very excited. So we have, on one hand, a lot of difficulties and challenges, and on the other hand, like it comes in life, we have opportunities too. So in the next few weeks, we'll be reaching out to our membership and in many different ways, surveys perhaps, and more conversations. One will, I think, is an excellent way to have a conversation. So I hope you will support us and be patient and, if I may say, pray for a better day for all of us, because we're working very hard, all of you and many of the women around the world that I've grown to know are working very hard, and they need your support, and we need to make this a global adventure, a global grassroots movement. That's the only way it's going to change anything. So I hope we can, I know we'll move forward. It's difficult, challenging, and sleepless nights, but we have our sisters around the world that are suffering a great deal more than we are, and we need to be able to have the courage and the fortitude and the patience to support your board as much as possible, and to join our committees. We really need you to work. We need hands-on people to work. And I have the best hopes for our future because we are so needed right at the moment.
Thank you for that explanation.
All right, continuing forward, we're going to go down a list here. We have Laura Dewey. Your mic's live. Go ahead, Laura.
You know, actually, Mary Beth and Mary dealt with what I was going to talk about, which was the march to New York. If Linda's still on, I agree with both of them, the responses. I would just add that if you can get people who've never been on a national march before to attend one, it could be kind of a life-changing experience. The other thing is, I can't recall if Linda said she was from Tennessee, but would she could also hold a protest at Oak Ridge. And I have contacts with a group that goes down there. And so that's another possibility. But anyway, I generally agree with what Mary Beth and Mary said about New York versus local anyway.
All right. Thank you very much, Laura. Next, we have Ellen Thomas. Your mic's live.
I don't think I have anything else to add.
Okay. And next is Barbara Taft. Your mic's live.
Hi. When we were talking about the statement on Syria, I think there may have been a little bit of misunderstanding about the other statement that we're going to come out with. It will be a statement regarding creating a weapons of mass destruction free zone. It's not only going to be a statement about Syria, but about all of the areas of the world where there is a danger from weapons of mass destruction. This has been something that we've been working on for a long time and that ODIHL has specifically been working on for a long time, and the time has come. We really need to be getting out a statement and doing actions around that particular thing, and we know that that is a part of what's happening in the march in New York and hopefully all the marches locally that will take place. But getting an official statement out on that issue that ties all of these other things in together is extremely important right now so that everyone knows what we as WILF specifically stand for in that regard.
All right. Thank you very much, Barbara. And next, let's have ODIHL. Your mic's live. You're on stack. Go right ahead, ODIHL from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Well, Barbara Taft just said what I wanted to say, so that's good. I wanted to say that we are not going to revise the statement. It will be a new statement. But she said it, so thank you, Barbara.
Thank you very much, ODIHL. Okay, and Mary, I see you still have a one-up. Is that from before? I'm not sure. Mary Hansen Harrison, you're welcome to have any closing remarks.
Yes, it is. It is the one up. It was up from the last time. So thank you.
Okay, no problem. You're the last on stack, so if you have any closing thoughts, you can kind of like bring it home if you want.
Well, I think as I said, we have sisters all over the world who need our help. And who we can learn from. WILF is a unique entity as far as I'm concerned in a feminist organization. We have local, national, and international. And the more you can make those connections, the more you can get those intersections of and not be isolationist and show other people in their lives, in their narratives, and the struggles that they have, I think Silpa said it beautifully when she said that we're quite alike. And remembering that when you talk to your family, friends, neighbors, bring the stories closer home. Bring that global home, because we have the possibility of a leader, unfortunately, who could engages in nuclear war. So I think just reaching out like we're doing and holding together, and I thank all of you and Mary Beth in particular for keeping us together. And I know we have the courage, so rise up and go to Chicago.
All right, sounds good. And with that, everyone's mic is live. If you want to say goodnight one more time, that is a clear
good night.
Fact.
Good night, everybody.
See you in Chicago.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You are currently the only person in this conference.